It's a short bike ride from Rochelle to Creston, a town of 650 people. Despite its size, the town center has a gourmet butcher shop, a wine bar, a spa, and a post office, but almost no other commercial businesses. It also has a historic opera house.
Welcome to the Booster Hall, Creston Opera House.
Catherine Collins, lifelong Creston resident and president of the Booster Club. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Dan.
Do you know when the original opera house was built?
I believe around the 1880s.
And you did some of the performing in here?
When I was younger, yes.
Wow. And so what were you in?
I was in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the Black Forest. I was the mirror.
So, and I'm guessing that when you're performing, you look on the audience, you pretty much know everybody or...
Absolutely.
Somebody's related to somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah, it must be nice. So where's the where was the stage? It was on that side of the...
It was all on that side there. We actually had a kitchen as well back when it was usable.
Oh, no kidding. So the interior now, it looks like you guys have gutted the entire thing.
Absolutely. We put in all new beams to structure the second floor. All new rewiring, new windows.
These wood planks on the floor, are they original?
This is all original.
How long has the renovation been going on?
About 13 years now. We are funded by just the public fundraisers. No loans, no grants, just whatever we can fundraise.
So it's all local involvement.
All local.
Is there any kind of sense of how long the renovation will go on before they...
We've been hoping that we should be finally done with this main floor within 5 years. We're hoping to have walls and everything within 2.
Oh, okay. It's a beautiful old building. Sure enough, I find Creston's commemorative Lincoln Highway mural right on Main Street. Old guys in hats leaning up against a white water fountain.
Well, here's what it says. Illinois was the only state to have Lincoln Highway drinking fountains. They were donated by Carl Parker in memory of his mother, Amanda Sutherland Parker, who had grown up in the Garden Plain area of Whiteside County. Originally, the fountains were to be placed every 10 miles across Illinois. This was not practical because of water supply, so fountains were donated to the towns and cities. 17 fountains were donated, and the 1914 progress report states that nine of them were then being placed. I think that has a typo on the sign. Progress report states that 9 of them were then being placed. I don't know. All right.
Heading east now, I didn't have the trouble Emily Post did when she hand-wrote on her map, bad road if wet, but I didn't find it all that comfortable on a bicycle either. I wouldn't recommend this stretch of Lincoln Highway on a bicycle. The shoulder is either gravel or non-existent, the trucks and cars go by very quickly, and they all seem unaware of the 3-foot berth rule for bicycles in Illinois. They don't seem all that much into sharing the road. To my left on this very cold afternoon, I started to see the wind turbines just across Interstate 88, the second location on the route where our energy concerns shape the skyline. And then, just west of Malta, I pedaled onto history. Like Richard Burton, who led the team that found the source of the Nile River in 1858, on the first day of spring in 2013, I find the legendary first seedling of the Lincoln Highway, the exact spot where the very first cement mile on the very first transcontinental highway was poured. Because the Lincoln Highway Association didn't have funds for the whole project, it concentrated instead on these seedling miles, stretches of road from which the highway itself might grow like the flora it was paving over. 10 feet wide and 1 mile long, the cement stretch was so successful that people traveled literally for hours just so they could brag about having driven from one end of the cement mile to the other. I find it an unassuming spot for one with such weighty import. Marked by only a single sign, it's just directly across from Kishwaukee College's baseball diamond, with its enormous black netting rising several stories in the air. It isn't hard to imagine that the foreboding scrim was placed there for the sole purpose of keeping excited hordes of curiosity seekers from rushing out onto the highway to see this concrete Magna Carta, although its actual use is to keep foul balls from going through windshields. A few feet away on Malta Road, in the parking lot of Kishwaukee College, is the commemorative gazebo. It has red, white, and blue bunting and a large plaque, still readable, even though plows had pushed a mound of snow in front of it. This seemed like as good a place as any to end my bicycle journey, right on the spot that birthed the long-distance car ride. But just as I'm about to pedal home, I get one more surprise.
First of all, tell me what your name is.
They call me Willie, but I'm Bill.
Okay. And you guys are with the Illinois Department of Transportation, right?
Right.
And what are you guys doing out here today?
We're patching the road surface. potholes, fixing all the white lines.
And how would you say this road compares to other roads that you guys work on?
It's actually in pretty good shape. This is a newer substructure, and it's highly maintained. It's pretty much a good road to travel.
This is a nice reminder that with a little maintenance and care, America's oldest highway should be around to serve as a viable traffic artery, as well as a living historical artifact for decades to come. For WNIJ, I'm Dan Libman.